KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
It is now 2:32 in the afternoon, and you're listening to KHUM Radio Without the Rules. We're going to do Coastal Currents right now. I want to say a big word of thanks to the folks who make Coastal Currents possible. These are our sponsors, so big thanks to Cocotat. Sponsor from the very beginning, been with us for a long time, so thank you, Cocotat. Thank you as well to Bayside Garden Supply for sponsoring Coastal Currents, and thank you to Solutions Eco Store on the Plaza. And thank you to the person who does 99.973% of the work in putting together Coastal Currents, Delia. Hi, Delia.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope you're having, is it beautiful and sunny where you're at?
It is. It is beautiful and sunny at City Hall in Arcata.
It's always sunny at City Hall, isn't that the motto? Well, who's our guest today?
We have a really special guest today. I'm really excited. We have the Environmental Programs Manager for the City of Arcata, Emily Benzi, is here with us.
Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, Emily is also one of our Surfrider executive committee, so she wears a couple hats. but yeah, we're gonna talk about some a few different things. First of all, you know, this is Coastal Currents, and the water in our ocean depends on what happens to it before it enters in our ocean sometimes, and so. City of Arcata is always hard at work trying to make our water as clean as possible. And so Emily's going to talk about some accomplishments and some ongoing programs that she's working on.
Do you have a meeting today?
Yep. Hi, sorry about that. She's working on some things right now in the office. But first of all, maybe we can talk about a couple bans that have happened.
Yeah, so in 2013, we had a plastic bag ban within the city of Arcata, which prohibits the use of single-use plastic bags. And really the intent of that is more to encourage the reuse of reusable bags within the city. And then in 2015, we have a polystyrene, essentially a styrofoam ban. One of the reasons for that is that styrofoam is one of the worst pollutants in the ocean, and it breaks down, but it never biodegrades. So that's no longer allowed in the city.
Yeah, that's a really important one. I think when we see a lot of little pieces of styrofoam on the beach, that's like the hardest thing to pick up ever, and really gets into everything. We really wanted to focus today on some of the stormwater programs that the city is doing. They're doing a large number of things. Maybe you can mention a few of them.
Yeah, so essentially the stormwater, the city is committed to improving our water quality and treating stormwater as a resource. And one of the ways that this commitment is implemented is actually through a mandate by the state of California, the Water Board, and that's called the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System Permit, MS4 for short. And essentially, it has all of these different measures that the city must commit to implementing programs to reduce our negative impacts on stormwater quality. And one of the ways we do that is through a larger coalition, all of the local jurisdictions within Humboldt County partners, to figure out ways that we can meet these state requirements and help provide a lot of outreach and education to the community to really emphasize the fact that stormwater, it's not a waste product, it's a resource, and so we want to protect that resource and use it the best way possible.
So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you're doing with like illegal dumping or runoff or a few examples of projects that you've done.
Yeah. So, we are constantly committed to just street sweeping and reducing the amount of trash that ends up in the gutters. We will respond to any complaints as well as just educate all businesses, residents, construction site operators on how to employ what's called best management practices. And you know, those essentially are ways that we can capture our oil leaks and prevent them from, you know, ending up in the road and down the gutter and eventually into the bay, or ways that we can cover up our soil to prevent erosion and sedimentation. And also really encouraging the development of what's called low impact development standards, which is to reduce the amount of impervious, essentially concrete, asphalt, reduce the surfaces that ultimately water runs off of and drains into the storm sewer system. So what we really focus on, you know, far and above all else, is trying to have as many green surfaces as possible through implementing low impact development standards. And there's all kinds of ways that you can do that. You know, you can do plant native species, you can do permeable pavement, bioswales, rain gardens. Really, the possibilities are endless as far as how you can keep your stormwater on site where it originates rather than pushing it off site into our stormwater conveyance system and ultimately untreated into the creek.
Yeah, I mean, Emily, I had a quick question. I think it's along these lines. I was intrigued when you mentioned a little while ago thinking of stormwater as a resource rather than just a waste product. And is when you say that, is this what you're talking about, ways of using rainwater for beneficial purposes before it becomes stormwater runoff, or is there something else in
exactly.
mind when you think about using it as a resource?
No, you're spot on. So exactly, really maintaining those beneficial uses for the stormwater. So, you know, keeping water clean in the creeks to provide good habitats, having it infiltrate, recharging the groundwater table, capturing some of that water to reduce, you know, what we're demanding in terms of domestic water use, and really just creating habitat, like I said, through some of this low impact development. You know, you can have a rain garden rather than a parking lot. So exactly.
Is there any?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Delia.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I love how all these things are really being proactive, kind of rather than reactive to dealing with water quality.
Are there any concerns about unintended? I'm not going anywhere with this question. I'm asking it purely as a question. But is there any concern about unintended consequences if we were able to significantly divert a lot of water that currently now is stormwater runoff into these other uses? Are there any possible unintended consequences of that?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. If you were to divert all of the stormwater before it enters the creeks, or, you know, any significant amount, that would not be good. I think that's such a minor thing. With all the rain we get, if someone has, when I say divert, I'm thinking a rain barrel at the end of your downspout rather than pushing that onto your parking lot. So when I talk about diversion, I think that's a good distinction to make. You know, I don't mean significant diversions, but I think on a small scale, if you're catching your roof runoff into a rain barrel and using that to water your garden, that's definitely better than paying your water bill, for example, and, you know, using what you could otherwise be drinking or what would be in the Mad River. So,
yeah, it always seemed to me, I mean, I need to make greater efforts in my own in this regard, but it always seemed every winter when I watch all this water fall from the sky, I think I should be using that in some way.
Yeah, and you know, I think you raise a really good point. As much as the city can do and promote, what really it comes down to is a lot of individual behavior, is just really making everyone aware that, like I said, stormwater is a resource, and making that connection that what falls out of the sky and across the parking lots and down the street and into the gutter, ultimately it catches everything on the way down and it ends up in the creeks with no treatment whatsoever. So everything that's in its path, it picks up and, you know, ends up in the creeks, which ends up in the bay, which ends up in the ocean. And I think that's the biggest take-home message, is raising that awareness so that our behaviors can be adjusted accordingly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways that you can learn more about this and what you can do at home. I know the city has some online resources, as well as you're doing some education and outreach to some schools, I think. What are those resources?
Yeah, so I would definitely encourage everyone to first look at the North Coast Stormwater Coalition website, as well as our Facebook page. We're pretty active on both in terms of providing further resources, as well as, you know, short blurbs about stormwater issues and good projects. We regularly work with schools. Recently, we worked with our Arcata High School and Humboldt State University to do some demonstration low-impact development retrofits. The city of Arcata has our website, the Environmental Services page. We have a stormwater link, and that can direct you to all sorts of resources. And if you're more of a hard copy person, we have plenty of brochures and handouts within the umbrella of stormwater, kind of pertaining to different water quality issues, whether it's construction or wash water or oil, how to properly dispose of your oil, runs the whole gamut. So.
Awesome. And I'm also curious if people want to go out and see one of these low impact development projects, what are some places in Arcata that have them? Because you might not even notice that this is out there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you asked. So my first recommendation would be going to 7th and F Street. We have a low impact development demonstration parking lot. There's an interpretive sign there which details sort of the different low impact development measures. So different forms of permeable pavers, rain gardens, swales. Also, Humboldt State University by the library and by their parking lot on 14th Street, they have a couple different low impact development areas. And Arcata High School, they have some low impact development. I think it's harder to get to the high school because it's not as public as 7th Street per se. But I would definitely recommend checking out the parking lot on 7th Street and Humboldt State University as well.
Awesome. Yeah, go check them out and get inspired to do your own at your own house or business forever.
Yes. And we're more than happy to help, you know, provide information on some lessons learned and some good practices for really having successful low-impact development projects.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, Emily. Is there anything else that you want to mention before we move on?
September's Stormwater Awareness Month, so this is a timely discussion. There will be a lot more public engagement from the various agencies and nonprofits kind of around the topic of stormwater, so keep your eyes and ears out for more stormwater talk.
Awesome. Yeah, it all goes to the ocean eventually, huh?
Yes, exactly. We want to stop it at the source.
Well, thank you so much, Emily, for your time. That was a great discussion. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Yeah, pleasure to meet you over the phone.
Yep, exactly. All right, thanks, Delia. Do you got anything else for us before we wrap it up?
I had one thing to mention. We've been kind of covering this recreational jet ski use at South Beach in Crescent City. We talked about it the past 2 weeks a little bit, and I just wanted to mention that there's going to be a meeting in Crescent City this Saturday at 1, and that's just, again, to get the information to people and start discussing ways to address the issue. So if anyone is interested, that is an open meeting at 1 at, I forget the name of the restaurant, but it's the restaurant on the jetty in Crescent City. And there's more information on our Facebook page, on Surf Rider's Facebook page.
Okay.
Want to know more.
All right. Awesome. Thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. That is Delia and Emily on the phone from Arcata. And that'll wrap up Coastal Currents for this week. Again, big thanks to Coquitat for sponsoring Coastal Currents and to Bayside Garden Supply and to Solutions Eco Store on the plaza. And big thanks to Delia and Emily for their time this afternoon. Right now, our official Coastal Currents theme song. This is Best Coast. It's on K-Hum.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search K-Hum in iTunes.